Hello. Yes, sir. Yes, I'm listening, Miss Newbride. Yes.
Come on, Mr. Wishbottom. Nice weather we're having.
Yes, the weather's all right. What? Well, no, I didn't say anything about the weather. A fella just came in the store.
It's a bit dry, though. We could stand a shower.
Well, if you need a shower, why don't you take one? What's that? No, I didn't tell you to take a shower.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
What is that, Miss Newbride? Well, what is the matter with that applesauce cake? Of course we didn't send no applesauce with it. We didn't send a goose with the gooseberries, neither. Well, all right. Dead, burn it. Take the pie and know what I'm going to do if Eb don't get back here soon. Now.
Why, what seems to be the trouble now, Mr. Winterbottom?
Oh, it's just during night work. Got to take inventory. Starting at 6 o'clock in the evening, work all night. Never get a wink of sleep.
Why, that's terrible.
Yes, the same thing night after night, day in and day out. I tell you, just can't stand it.
Well, of course you can't. Now, how long has this been going on?
I'm starting tomorrow.
Well, the trouble with you, Mr. Winterbottom, if I may say so, is that you allow yourself to be unduly perturbed by trivial matters. Mm-hmm. You should view things more philosophically. After all, running a store alone isn't such a prodigious achievement.
A dizzy what?
Not dizzy, I am...
Who ain't?
Who isn't what?
Dizzy.
Why, no one is dizzy.
Well, then, would you bring the subject up for?
I didn't say anything about anyone being dizzy.
What?
I said prodigious achievement. That means great feat.
Oh, yes. Well, why did you say so? Well, as far as I know, this fellow Jeff Barker's got the boat of the most prodigious achievement of anyone in Corn Center.
He has what?
Just what you said, the most prodigious achievement, greatest feat.
Oh, I'm afraid you still don't understand. I simply said you allowed yourself to become disturbed unnecessarily. And I suggest that you cultivate a philosophy.
Well, where'd you get one?
Why, out of books. Read some of the old philosophers, such as Spinoza, Hegel, Kant.
Well, why, didn't he go to school?
Who?
That there fellow you was talking about, the one that can't read.
Why, didn't say he couldn't read? I said Kant, a philosopher.
Well, how do I know whether he's kidding or not? I don't even know the fellow.
Oh, no, I say, you're not getting it at all. He wrote a book, and
oh, yes, I get it now. Yes, certainly, he wrote a book.
Well, I'm glad that you're beginning to understand.
Yes. Now, you mean he can write, but he can't read.
See here. Kant was the gentleman's name. Yes. He lived many years ago, and he wrote a book. In fact, a number of books.
What kind of books, Freddy?
I said number.
Well, now, you don't tell me. As I often said to Eb, a fella sort of lives and learns, don't he? You know, I always wondered who writ that book.
Which one are you referring to?
Why, the phone book.
A phone book?
Yes.
I said nothing about a phone book.
Well, you said the number book. What other book is it? It's got numbers in it.
I said nothing of the kind. I said number of books. He wrote them many years ago. Of course, if you prefer a new writer.
No, I don't care so much for that. Had it in the back of my neck right here once, and it darn near killed me.
But I say, will you please tell me what you're talking about now? What did you have in the back of your neck?
New writers.
Not new writers.
It certainly was new writers. I reckon I ought to know.
I'm not talking about new writers.
Well, see, now look here, Professor. You better make up your mind just what you're talking about. First it's big feet, and then it's a fella that can't breathe, and now it's...
I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about writers. Writers. Men who write on the subject of philosophy. Mm. And I suggested that if you don't care for the older writers, you might like the books of some of our modern philosophers. For instance, Adolf Goetz on the subconscious thought train.
Who do you say gets on it?
No one gets on it. You can't get on a subconscious thought train. That's
Yes, you're right. I get it now.
But certainly I'm right.
Yes, that train don't stop here.
Exactly. The train doesn't stop there. Oh, look here. I'm not referring to a railroad train. No, we're still discussing philosophy, books. Adolf Goetz wrote a book called The Subconscious Mind. And I think you'd find it very interesting.
Well, I don't get much time for reading. But what's it about?
Well, Goetz has a theory that the subconscious mind speaks to us in symbols, which are in reality a metamorphosis of distortion of concrete events.
Yes.
And by deciphering these symbols, we can comprehend our nocturnal fantasies.
The king, eh?
Yeah, he claims that our unconscious sensory impressions are synthesized in a kaleidoscopic arrangement, seemingly unintelligible, and that by an analysis and rearrangement, they may become the source of considerable esoteric knowledge. And now, to put it another way...
Well, say, why don't you leave it just as it is?
But is the subject matter of the book clear to you?
Oh, yes, yes, that's clear enough, yes. Yes, but what I want to know is, what's the darn book about? Sort of adventure stories?
That's what I'm endeavoring to explain to you. The book has to do with the subconscious mind. Now, putting it a bit crudely, it's a method of deciphering dreams.
Oh, shucks, ain't nothing to dreams. None of them's true.
Oh, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, Mr. Winterbottom.
It's a fact just the same. The other night I dreamt I was awake, and when I woke up, I found I was asleep.
Yes, but you don't...
Say, did you want to buy something, Professor?
No. No, I merely dropped in to discuss the music for the play. If I am to lead the orchestra, I think it's time we decided on the overture. Now, Mr. Duke tells me it will be William Tell, but Mrs. Zell insists on Court and Peasant.
Well, couldn't you do a little of both, sort of mix them up like? Play a little of that there Willie Tell song, and then bring in the goat and the pheasant?
Poet! Poet and peasant!
Well, whatever it is. But if you played both of them, why, you'd be pleasing everybody and no hard feelings, you see.
Fortunately, we wouldn't be pleasing everybody. We wouldn't be pleasing Mayor Schultzenheimer at all. He objects to both of them. He says neither offers a sufficient opportunity for a solo. It seems he has his heart set on playing a solo.
Well, why don't you let him play a solo? Most anything would be better than playing a tuba.
But a solo isn't an instrument. Solo means alone.
Well, that's better yet. Let him play his tuba alone. Maybe we could get him to go out in the woodshed or...
No. Solo is a musical term. It means he will play while the remainder of the orchestra isn't heard.
Well, if he plays, it's darn certain the rest of the orchestra won't be heard.
That is, they stop playing to allow him to play. And he wants to play in that little shirt my mother made for me.
No, shucks, we can talk him out of that. The darn shirt won't fit him.
Oh, but it isn't the shirt, you know. It's the composition, the piece.
Piece.
And what's more, he refuses to attend rehearsal. And there's the matter of dressing, too.
Well,
I had planned to have the orchestra attired in dinner jackets, and Mr. Schultzenheimer refuses to do that, too.
He does, eh?
Yes. He says that he's too busy to bother to dress. Now, mayor or no mayor, he'll have to abide by the same rules applying to the other musicians. And I think you ought to make that perfectly clear to him.
Well, you see, Professor, what makes it kind of hard is he's a pretty good customer here.
Now, that has no bearing on the matter whatever. If you expect me to conduct the orchestra, I want it thoroughly understood that he cannot use his official duties as a cloak to cover his negligence.
As what, Professor?
As a cloak to cover his negligence. He will have to attend rehearsals, and he will have to... good morning, Mr. Dale.
Miss Dale.
I hope I'm not intruding.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, I was just on the point of leaving. You'll have a talk with Mayor Schultzenheimer, Mr. Winterbottom.
Yes. I'll see him about it, the first time he comes in.
Very well, and let me know the outcome. Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning, Professor
Little Ray. Come in again sometime. Yes.
Well, Mr. Winterbottom, the play seems to be coming along just splendidly. I have the first act arranged entirely to my satisfaction.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, how is Professor Thistlethwaite progressing with the orchestra?
Well, he sort of seems to be having a mite of trouble. Say, what in conditions is a Danged if I can remember the word now.
You don't mean negligee.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Well, that means underwear.
That's it, yes. Mayor Schultzenheimer says he's going to play his tuba solo without covering up his underwear.
What? Why, Mr. Winterbottom.
That's a fact. He says he's too busy to dress.
Oh, I never heard of such a thing.
All he's going to wear is a piece of Professor Thistlethwaite's shirt. What's the matter? Take her away, Mrs. Zell. Dead bonnet, she's fainted. Mrs. Zell, help! Help! Somebody get your water! Help! Help! The lady's fainted here!